Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Worthing.
We're going to have a conversation for a few minutes, but it's in the context of, of what God is doing. How many of you know He's moving in the nation at the moment? There's lots of stories. He's in lots of places. God is coming in His glory, but He's also coming to a holy people. Those two things go together. You can't separate them in Scripture. So when God comes in His glory, He comes to a holy people. And so He is working in the church. He's working to purify, cleanse. We are holy before Him in Christ. We're holy and blameless in His sight. But the word says we're also called to live holy, to be holy as He is holy. So we have a responsibility then in relation to who He is in our lives to live holy. And so God is doing a cleansing work in the church because He's coming with His glory. And those two things are going to collide. And as He comes in His glory, there has to be a purifying of the church because His glory is light. It's the revealing of who He is. Glory and presence are two different things. The presence of God is the awareness that He is here. The glory of God is the revealing of who He is.
That's right.
And all kinds of things happen. And God is coming in His glory and He's coming to a holy people.
Amen.
And in that, He's saying, come up here, come up higher. Yeah. And the higher you go, the more focused you become.
Yeah.
Because the higher you go, the more focused you are on getting to where you're going. And what happens when you become more focused, other things become less important.
That's right.
And so there's an invitation from the Lord at the moment, come higher, come higher. Come away with me, come and be with me. And only you can decide whether you do that or not. And cultivate that and Holy Spirit, teach me how to do that. Show me how to do that. And I want to give you that time and that space. And you'll find God does stuff in your life. Jane brought an amazing message a couple of weeks ago. There was a real heart message. And we're responding to that in our lives. Colin followed that up last week with another heart. It's all to do about the kingdom. How do we live the kingdom life in the power of the Spirit? At the heart of any revival is prayer. Prayer and fasting. And the flesh hates it, absolutely hates it. But that's how the kingdom works, through prayer and fasting. And, or one of the ways. And God's bringing us into, see, in all of our lives personally, where prayer is going to become more central. Prayer and fasting is going to become more regular. A fasted lifestyle becomes normal.
Yeah.
And whatever that will look like for you, but as you listen to the Holy Spirit, He'll show you what that looks like. And so what's at the heart of all of this is yielding, it's surrender. And one of the areas we're going to have a conversation about this morning is finances, is money, resources. And this is a really key area. And you might think, wow, hang on a minute, it's a bit of a left field compared to the last couple of weeks. But actually, where your heart is, there your treasure is. God wants us to steward the resources that He blesses us with, however they come into our lives, through salaries or in other ways that He can provide in our lives. We're called to steward everything He gives us. And I just want to chat with Simon and interview him, and he'll probably lighten up when he starts to talk a bit more. not because he's not deep, it's only because it'll help to lighten it up, okay?
Yeah, okay, I'll try.
So Simon, Simon's role is the executive pastor, and just describe what that is. You'll probably describe it better than mine. And don't just say anything that I don't want to do, right?
Yeah, so I guess my responsibilities are for the things that Clive doesn't want to do. but within that, just in terms of running the organisation, in terms of making decisions, buildings, people, personnel, tax, law, all that sort of stuff. So I sort of run the side...
All the operations.
...operations of what we do. So I see my job is facilitating, if you like, the congregation, pastors and Clive and Jane to be fruitful in what they're doing. So I take a lot of that stuff on a day-to-day basis away. So, yeah, that's predominantly it.
And I just want to say I hugely appreciate you a lot. And can you just... To help give a bit of context for that, can you just give us just a little bit about your background? Work background, in that sense.
Work background?
Yeah.
OK. So it's a job interview, is it? I'm being re-interviewed for work. You didn't tell me. I was put at risk on the way in.
It could turn out to be, yeah.
Yeah. So
there's the door.
Right.
Sorry. Yeah.
OK. So came to... Grew up in a Christian household.
Yeah.
Followed the Lord off and on. It actually was always believed in the Lord, but actually there was a level of surrender in my life that, let's just say, moved based upon whether I was willing to pay the cost or not. It's been a reoccurring facet in my life, that story, actually.
I think it's the same for everyone, isn't it?
I came to Bible college when I was 20. Katie and I got married and stayed around here, and then I've worked for various financial institutions, running sales teams. So my last role before I came on team here in 2014, over 10 years ago,
yeah,
was I was a regional sales director for Barclays Corporate Finance for the Southeast. So I would run sales teams and go into business and decide whether we're going to lend them money, basically, and run sales. So it's quite a broad role, but it was managing people, bringing out the best in your staff, but also hitting a target at the end so you get paid.
Right.
Ultimately, that's what Barclays are there for. Their goals are to make money. So yeah, that's what I did. So that's my background.
So how did you get from doing that to being on the team here?
You asked me, Clive. Can you remember?
I asked you. But there's a bit.
No, there was a bit more of a journey.
Yeah, yeah.
So what
did that look like?
Well, it looked like you ringing me up one day and saying, "Well, no, actually, no. Tell a lie." Going back now, I look back when I was leaving the Bible College, that had been in, I was 21, God said to me, I had a word from someone, and said, I'll raise you up in the workplace, and I'll raise you up in your ministry. And I thought, well, I'm not going anywhere near being in any kind of ministry as I perceived it, not realising everything we do is the outworking of God's ministry in our lives, whether it be in a secular setting or not. But that's what happened. And so I went through different things, and I learned a lot of skills that actually were transferable. But ultimately, you asked me to get involved in some stuff around here because you wanted some free advice when it basically came down to it. in hindsight, that's...
What's wrong with that?
Look, nothing. No. And actually, that is true. But I was a member of the house for a long time, in one sense, but actually there was a challenge that I had before me, and it happened over a period of time, and I came home, I got ultimately asked to be a trustee and then got involved. I don't think they really knew what they were opening the door to, because I have a tendency just to say what I think, pray about it and say what I think, and then watch people's reactions to what you've said. But I'd had a conversation with Katie and said, I think the Lord might be saying this to us. And we looked at each other and we knew what the cost was and in that side of stuff. And there was some cost, but actually on the other side of it, there was a lot more benefits than cost. But we had to make some decisions in our life and change some certain things to do that, to enable us to go forward. But I didn't... Yeah, OK, remuneration's completely different, but at the end of the day, I'm not doing God a favour. I'm responding to what he said, and I was successful in what I did because that's where God wanted me to be. And I'm wise enough to know you'll only be successful if you do what God says to do. So, yeah. So I had no choice, really, but to respond to the call. On one level...
Yeah, yeah, but you do have a choice.
Yeah, no, but I didn't.
As in, we all have a choice to whether we respond to what God's saying.
Yeah, but why would you make a conscious decision when you know what the Lord is saying not to do what he's saying?
Right, sure.
So, therefore, it was... So I did have a choice, but the alternative wasn't a good one.
Sure. So how did you handle... to do with finances, one of the things that operates in the world is spirit of mammon,
mm-hmm,
which is kind of greed and very self-orientated. And that is just evident in the world, right? And obviously that can be quite a pull when you're a believer as well. And how did you handle... you obviously earn a lot more and all the benefits and everything else you're involved in than you do here in that sense. But how did you handle that? Submitting, surrendering to what God was saying, knowing there were implications like that as well. How did you?
Well, Katie helps in that sense. I think when you have those conversations with your wife around stuff, and there's nothing wrong from my perspective, of a wife who reminds you of the truth of what the word says, even though you don't like it. So you go home on a Sunday, you might go home this afternoon, and your wife might say to you, you know, all those things, that's for you. You might not like it because you know it's true. And that's the reality of it. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's why God put us. He didn't say it's not good for man to be alone because man will do crazy things when they're left to their own devices. And sometimes your wife and the Holy Spirit, or both of them at the same time, will do that. So for me, it was just about, I knew God's path. So answering the question around mammon, I dealt with it badly, okay? But then God would let it go so far and then bring it to things. So I always had a thing about cars and about having nice cars. And you go into that and you just tick a box and they deliver you a 5 Series BMW. It's as simple as that. It came with a job. And you don't realise how it gets a grip on you and it gets a knife thing in you. So God would, they'll go through seasons where he would have to deal with things in my life. And then you have to make the decision. Because sometimes God allows things to happen in your life. And then he gets to a point and he goes, enough is enough. And right. Then he brings that back. And then when you've got that revelation, it's him, you make a decision. So a couple of times it's going to sound stupid, but I made conscious decisions not to have the car that I could have had. I'd always pick down because I knew that it was good for me. It sounds awful. I mean, it's a silly thing that I drove around in a 2-litre 5 Series rather than a 3.5-litre. All my colleagues had better ones. But that was important because I had to keep that in check in my life because I knew it's a weakness in my life.
Right.
So therefore, I just had to make some... Because I knew myself. I knew what would happen to myself. I knew it would catch up with me and grab me if I wasn't careful. So therefore, I took preventative steps to stop it from happening as I got older.
Right. Yeah. So what are some of the principles then that you live by in terms of your own? We'll come on to the kingdom faith finances in a minute in terms of how just so that people know how do we operate and manage the finances. So more on a personal, what are some of the principles that you live by in your own life?
Giving, tithing, surrender, and submission, and just responsive to the Lord. I was thinking about this morning. I went through this stage where didn't have an issue with tithing. That was easy giving to the Lord. But I was quite tight where I wouldn't spend money on people. I would do stuff and I would hold back all the time. And the Lord actually said to me, put 2.5% of your income aside. This was before I joined the team. 2.5%, that's your giving thing. So when you go out with people, your job is to bless them. And over a period of time, I'd do that with sisters or brothers or families, and I'd just put my hand in my pocket. It taught me to be generous. And then it just died away after a while because you just do it naturally. But it was something I had to train myself to do because I was okay with giving to the Lord, but I would come to situations like, why am I always buying? When we go to the pub, why am I always the one buying the drink? Particularly with one member of my family who's got very short arms and very long pockets. Doesn't go to this church.
He's not said that to them.
Oh, of course, no. Yeah, my brother knows I think that about him, yeah.
just to get out.
So it taught me, and I had to make some conscious decisions. So I think learning about yourself and how you work, and just standing before the Lord and going, okay, and Kate's very good at that with me. Katie will just say, look, you're doing it again. And I need it. It's painful at time, but you can't run away from the things that will try and snare you and entail you. And when you know what God said to you, you know, and you build your hand. We all talk about building our lives on the rock. But when you're doing stuff that is not what you know that God's telling you to do, you move yourself off the rock onto sand. It's what you do spiritually. And I always got that actually there'll be some challenges and there's some costs. But if I disobey the Lord or try and make excuses or try and justify my lack of faith or lack of surrender, everything else in my life would wobble. Because I would start to worry more about my kids or whatever. But actually, when you live in... The reason why it's important that you follow those principles is because you're firmly on the rock. And I think that's really important. So for me, I would I would pick up an issue in my life around finances, money, or whatever, or heart, or serving. Money wasn't actually the biggest cost. Spending time with people was the biggest cost and the journey I've been on, because that's actually more cost to me than sowing and giving money. But being involved in here, you just get on with it and you learn to it and you get to love people and do that side of things. But there'd be something else that would happen in my life. It wasn't about money. It was an insecurity in some area, and it would track back to, do I trust you? Do I trust you?
Right.
Do I trust you?
Right.
It's never about the money. Yeah. I don't think God uses money because he wants us to have our money or whatever. It's his anyway. I think he wants to show us who we are and what we struggle with, so we deal with it. And it's black and white. It's completely arbitrary. You either do trust him or you don't. And if you do trust him in finance, you will trust him in other areas, or he'll show you. If you don't, you probably don't trust him in other areas. So it wasn't a situation that I started struggling for money, because I wasn't, because I was well paid. And I think sometimes we kid ourselves around funny. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. It's worked well. But it was challenges in other areas, relationships or family stuff. So, yeah.
Mm, mm. So just coming on to Kingdom Faith,
yep.
From a time point of view. So can you just kind of give a little bit of understanding, maybe, where does the income come from?
Well, you. I mean, I think one of the things that I've realised as well, and I just want to say this, it's probably going off a bit off piece, but we really, really value and honour gifting, anointing. You know, on to put a stage and can you preach well or whatever. But actually, we don't honour faithfulness in such a way. And I think the Lord is talking, it says a lot in the Bible about faithfulness. And you guys are incredibly faithful in what you do in terms of your giving and going forward. And I just want to honour you for that, because actually, I have lots of conversations with people and I'll go and say to them, thank you for this or whatever. And most people don't want to talk to me about it because they see it as a transaction between them and the Lord, which it is. It doesn't mean I'm not going to honour that faithfulness, or we shouldn't honour that faithfulness. But 80% of our income, when we set our budgets, don't do your personal budgets like this, okay? Because we're slightly different. 80% of our income, we know, comes in generally through weekly givings, offerings and tithes. So when we set the year, we set our... tithes, giving. We set our budgets 80% of what we think, because over the last 10, 15 years, that's generally what happens. And then there's one-off gifts that come in every year, whether it be somebody retires and gives a, you know, ties the pension or give a big gift or an inheritance or whatever, takes us up to those things. So it's important that you have, we have budgets in place. We can't budget God for his income. He decides what that is. But we budget to our costs. And I'm pretty strict on costs.
Very.
Very strict on costs. Because what I say to people is, it's not... if you're a little old lady in this church, please don't be offended by this comment. But I say to the team, it's not the person who's had a big inheritance or a £100,000 bonus and tithed its pound we're spending. It's not the first pound we spend. It's the little old lady who gave it out of her pensions tithe or the gift to the Lord. That's the first pound we spend, because we have to be really, really honourable before the Lord to do it. Because I don't mind spending money. I just hate wastage. Okay, so if God says to do something, we do it. So we set our budgets, we set what we're going to be, and God always blesses us into that. And throughout the year, as that gap between 80% and 20, you know, the 100% comes in, he then puts other challenges in of, I want you to do this, or I want you to do that, or we have to respond to a need or something like that, which is where we were a few months ago in terms of... We're having such favour with the schools in terms of schools work, doing that, and we just needed to increase, you know, Megan and Dave going into schools. And we said before the Lord, were you going to get onto this? Were you going to ask this?
Just keep going.
Right. So we sat before the Lord, and I said, Clive, we've just got a challenge here, you know, in terms of what God is saying. So we made a decision before the Lord, prayerfully before the Lord, we're going to take Megan on an extra day. Cossacks. At the same time, I don't know if many of you know, we have a parish nurse who basically looks after people, doing a great job. 8 months before that, we took her on team, didn't have a budget for it, because we believed it was right before the Lord. And then we believed the Lord was saying, you need to take her from 2 days to 3 days. So we make these decisions, we look at each other before the Lord, and we go, okay, that's right, God, you'll do that. And then I had an email come in from a congregation member who said, I've had this gain, I want to do a... it was a tithe, a big tithe. Can I ask you how you'd spend it? Because I would really like to see it this. And in there was, why don't we increase the kids' work? Why don't we increase the parish nurse? So I was able to go back to that congregation member and say, you know, when anybody gives a pound in here, we take 10% of that money and we give that away. It can't go to us. It might be through benevolence for people who need it or mainly overseas workers, etc. But we live the same principle. And when you get into quite big figures, it's quite a lot of money. Last year, we gave away £120,000 that doesn't benefit us. We just sowed it into the kingdom. But the more we give away, the more that seems to come back in, because God's principles are God's principles. It doesn't mean we just frivolously give away money. It's always... Our challenge is we need to make sure that the Lord is definitely saying, spend this money, because we could give away more money, but it doesn't mean that we should. And that's the same in your life. You could spend more money, but does that mean you need that? Should you have that? And that's a principle. Just because you have it doesn't mean you have to spend it. And, you know, we just... Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Mm. So that same principle, we set 10% aside and we give that away.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we believe it's right that we operate as Kingdom Faith in the same way you would in your personal life, mm-hmm. in that sense. Because all of it is the Lord's,
yeah.
Everything that comes in that sense. But we believe it's right that... And we end up giving more than the 10% away, mm-hmm. in that respect. so... Because of time, we'll sort of draw this to a close in a minute. is there one thing in relation to what God is saying about yielding, surrendering to the King, to Him in a fresh way? But then in relation to finances, what we have in our lives, in terms of one thing that you'd want to say at this time that's really important in terms of how we respond to the Lord?
I think in everything in your life, you need to ask, this is what I do, but if I was going to say one principle I wish I knew 20 years ago, is what's driving your decision? If you're buying a house or whatever, and that's going for because you need a new house, that's fine. But if you're the guy that's thinking, oh, we're going to have to pay this mortgage, do you know what I mean? What's driving your decision is fear at that point in time. Am I going to be able to do that? I think once you learn that in yourself, that I think God crystallises some things in me a lot quicker. So if I wouldn't have done this thing for the children, why not? Because I didn't believe God was going to provide. And therefore it turns from being fear into faith. So I'm quite black and white in the way that I see things. So therefore God is very clear to me about stuff. Why aren't you doing X? Or why isn't it you don't want to do that? And generally it comes to fear or not trust. And therefore what you do is you try and protect and control your environment. And if you spend a bit of time with me, I do like control. I'm a bit of a control freak in the right sense. I'm aware of it, so I'm trying not to be, but if you spend a bit of time with me, I like things in a row. I like things done. And God's just not interested in any of that. We can have all your plans, but it's also... And God doesn't want us to not to have the things that He wants. He wants to just make sure they're just in line. When Colin shared that thing last week around, you know, how things stand with the Lord, God's not worried about whether we have money or not. He's just worried about whether money has us or not, or selfishness, or unforgiveness, or whatever it is. The other thing I would say, because I've been meaning to say this for a couple of years, is when people come here and talk about overseas work, what they do, we call them missionaries or overseas workers, the reason they're on this stage is because we gave them 10%, we give them money every month, we support them, to the tune of about £80,000 a year we give to overseas workers. The reason they're here is because their fruit is your fruit. Because we've taken some of your money and we've given it to them to sow into the kingdom to go forward. So we talk about things much more about how does it benefit us, much more about kingdom, about how do you do it. And that's really important. If we're doing something is doing something as King, as the churches together in Horsham, and there isn't a budget for it, we'll do it because because it's right, because we need to answer what God says. So my two things are: number one, hear what the Lord is saying. Number two, it's probably going to be painful, but don't not go for it. It's better the other side. And actually, it's what he's trying to show you is: do you trust me? Do you love me? Do you think I have you in your hands? Do you do that? And secondly, the last thing is: God is a redemptive God. So if you haven't done things, or you haven't done stuff the way you, or you've made mistakes, just park it. You're one decision away for being right in the centre of God's will. We all are every day. So we don't judge. We don't make decisions, or we don't box people. If you're, and this was me, I lived a very self-centred life. But you know, when you surrender to the God, doesn't mean you don't need to go forward. It didn't hold me back. So there, and you asked for one thing, I gave three. Sorry.
I expected that.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. But don't let the devil rob you of today's decision that will move into the things. Don't let the your lack of response to the Lord try and kid you historically that what he's promised over your life will not come true.
Amen. That's right.
Because it's not about your behaviour, it's about what he said. But Amen. When we respond, it's conditional, and if you do, it says in the Bible, if my people will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, Amen. I will heal their land.
That's right.
And so therefore, there is a response for us. But don't kid yourself that you're too far away from the Lord's hand. And I think that's really important for some people. We're not, you know, we get before the Lord, there's a full access to the Lord. It doesn't get taken away based upon our performance. There's always a full access because of what Jesus did. And I think that's really important that we kid ourselves. And I remember having conversations with Pastor Colin in the car when I was driving around, and he used to say, I wrote this book and it was just a response of faith, but I've learned too much. I wish I could just go back to that simplistic, the Lord has said, I do, off we go. That's pretty much...
That's the Christian life.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Lord speaks, I do, off we go. And that's really helped me with that. Because, yeah, there are principles of God, but he'll work them out and there'll be different things for you. It might not be money. It might be, will you let people in your house? Or, you know, will you share what you've got? Or are you going to forgive a family member? Or whatever it is. Yes, they did something really bad. Doesn't mean that what they did didn't matter and it wasn't wrong, but are we going to move on and see what we can do? And I think you can't just box different things with the Lord. I think that's what the Lord is doing at the moment. Is that we may live what we call a spiritually clean life in certain things, but we've got some other areas in our lives that we've boxed and the Lord can't go there. I think he's wanting to go to the things that we've left in the box, just to let you know. That's coming.
That's what he's doing at the moment.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's an ongoing... The Christian life is it's an ongoing yielding day by day, isn't it? Because you make decisions in the face of temptations, circumstances, challenges, but it's deciding I want to set the position of my heart in line with who he is and what he's doing, and in the face of things that come up in life, that's the position. So therefore, we're going to meet those things in a different way than if we don't. Just want to read one scripture, Philippians 4. It says here, Paul the Apostle says here, I've learnt to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And just over the last 10 years, or I mean, I've known you for a long time, but the last 10, 12 years where our relationship's grown a lot, one of the things I've really noticed in you is how you are totally content. And knowing the background you've had and knowing the lifestyle that you had, but then the response that you made to the Lord, what I've noticed is you never come across in any regret, or you never talk about what you used to have or anything. You very much live in the now, knowing that God is your supplier, your provision, and you're very content. I don't know inside if you are, but that's how it comes across. And I just want to honour you for the decision that you made to... I know you did it because you know the Lord's saying, but there's quite a practical challenge around that, and financial challenges around doing some of that. You know, if you're living in a certain way, you can do whatever you want when you want and all this kind of thing. But then coming into this context and bringing all that you have learned through what God has done in your life and what you've learned, but bringing that in to really serve God in this context and all the skills. And I know all the guys on the team love and appreciate you.
Sometimes.
They do. And Simon's got a knack, right? I would say it's a gift, okay? A knack of... you go in, someone can go and have a conversation with him. He can pull the rug out from under people's feet and people walk out going, thanks for that, that was brilliant. I really... If I had the same conversation with people, they'd go, I don't like him anymore. You know... Whereas you got this gift, some of how you've helped to change the culture, how you've brought a greater stability into the life of the team and into the whole structural organisational side of Kingdom Faith. And I just want to thank you for that. And I know I have done privately, but I know... Right, let's just pray for a minute and... Do you want to just pray, mate?
Oh, I was going to go mute. Look.
I know you were.
Yeah, Father, I just thank you that you see things differently than we see things. Yeah. You say, come up here because you want to see things from your perspective.
Mm.
But I thank you, Lord, that you have each one of us in your hand. The things that we're talking about today or talking about your kingdom is because you are for us, not because you're against us or we've done something wrong. Thank you, Lord, that you want to refine each one of our lives so that we can be fruitful. I thank you, Lord, that my prayer is that we're just honest before you of the things that we're challenged with, things that we're struggling with. But, Father, whether we invite you into every single scenario of our life, that we don't keep things boxed that may be painful because you know that you want to deal with that in our life. And if you want us, you want to show and prove yourself, sometimes you want to take us on a journey of faith because you want us to come out the other end trusting you fuller because of what you're doing, Father. So I just thank you, Lord, that we would just... be open to what you're saying. We'd be willing to listen to what you hear. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to remind people today of promises of words you've spoken over their lives because you're going to want to see those things fulfilled. But I thank you, Lord, in the same way, there's a conditional thing on that. If we will humble ourselves and do what you say, you will heal our land. So thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I just thank you for what you want to do. I thank you for the honour and, you know, just the humbleness of why you've chose me or all any of us to do this. But I thank you, Lord, that you know the plan. Yes. And I just thank you, Lord, that we will respond to you in a fresh way, Lord. Amen. Not knowing the full outcome, because that's what faith is. Faith is hearing you and doing something, not knowing how it's going to work out. Not because we know the outcome, because we trust you. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, mate. Thanks for just your openness and honesty. Bless you, mate. Yeah, you can go now, yeah. All right, brilliant. Okay, Michelle. Just with what God's doing, this is one area that is really important to not just park in your lives, finances, possessions, all that we have, and what we do with what we have. And we haven't gone into loads of details on lots of things, but areas like tithing, and it's important that what we do with our finances is an expression of whether it belongs to the Lord or not. Tithing's a key part of the first. It's a biblical principle from Genesis to Revelation. Seek first, and Jesus sums it up in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added. And the tithe is the first fruit It's that first part. The tithe came in far before, way before the law. When the tithe was brought into the law, but it started with in Genesis with Abel bringing the best, the fat portion of his offering. You then go through different people that gave 10% to the Lord when they encountered him. And it's a biblical principle all the way through the Bible. And I just want to encourage you guys, if that's not something you've done, just to get before the Lord and talk to him. And this is not about, oh, the church just wants more money. The tithe is about you and God, your relationship with him and where he sits in your life being first. And it's one of the expressions of him being first, him being our first love in that sense. So there's tithing, but then there's also offering, there's giving. Tithing is not giving. Tithing is saying, it all belongs to the Lord, but it's like the Lord saying, but that bit is mine in that sense. And so we tithe the first fruits. And when you tithe the first fruits, biblically, everything else then gets blessed in that sense. It comes under his lordship because we're giving him the first. And that's before you pay tax, not after tax. It's gross that you tithe, not net. Tax is a payment like everything else. We benefit from our tax, the way the country's run. Somehow, yeah, the way the country's run and the NHS and everything else. So we benefit. So you tithe gross, not net in that sense when you're doing that. But then there's giving. And the giving is the generosity. That's the overflow that we give. And I just want to say this. You can never outgive God, whether it's tithe and how you set that apart or in your giving. And for Jane and I in our lives, what we do is not, you know, anyway, sometimes God does things in your life. You can't earn it. And even if you had the money, you wouldn't buy it because you wouldn't spend your money on those certain things necessarily. But there's things that God done in our lives over the years and our marriage and everything else. And he gives you things, he blesses you with things, or he does stuff at different moments. And you think, wow, God, I would, even if I had the money, I would never have spent it on that or done that with this. And often those things can be in your life for a short period of time, and then you give it away or you pass it on. Or because those things, they don't own us. It's really, really important that whatever we have in our life, we don't own it. In that sense, that you see yourself as a steward. It's fluent. It's fluid in your life. That what comes in can easily be given out. And just to say this to finish, because I know time's gone, but this is important. If the world says get more, get more, get more. And you know, just to check your heart, when you give, or whether you tithe or you give in offerings or you do stuff, when I say offerings, I don't just mean into the church, but it could be other people. If you have something in you that feels like, if I do that, I'll have less, you need to take that to the Lord. Or if I have that, my value and worth in life won't be as much because I won't have this. It won't look a certain way to other people. If what you have gives you value and worth, you just need to take that to the Lord and say, Father, would you work in my heart to the point where anything that I have does not give me value? Now, by saying that, it doesn't mean we don't look after what we have. Because everything we have, treat it like it's the Lord's, okay? So you want to look after it, keep it well. Don't treat anything just offhandish in that sense. But that doesn't mean it owns you. Just because you look after it well, you want to, you know, your house, treat it well, look after it. But so it doesn't own you in that sense. And are you there? You just do a few, chucking a few last thoughts out before we finish this morning. Father, we just present ourselves towards you. I know Simon's prayed. But, Father, I ask you that you would grace us all to bring anything before you that we need to, so that everything's in right order, so that nothing owns us except you, amen. That we are owned by you, that everything else we see as a blessing and can easily be then passed on or given away, if that's what you want, in any given area of our lives. We thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.